Phil Henry Show is brought to you by Overstock.com, your online outlet store. Savings up to 80%. Log on today, Overstock.com.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
I mean, what is wrong with the Garland, the Judy Garland bloodline that would cause her daughter to willingly enter into matrimony with a man so self-mutilated that he looks Oriental? I mean, there's no knock on the Chinese. Please understand this. The Asian people are beautiful people. And so therefore, if you're born Caucasian and you've had such mutilating facial surgery that you now look like you're another race, is that good or is it bad? Is that right or is it wrong? And what who are these plastic surgeons? Please, somebody point them out to me. I think these guys ought to be thrown out of every medical establishment, every medical association known to man. It's no big deal, because I'm never going to have my face hacked into like that. It's just never going to happen. I'm going to grow old, and I'm going to grow ugly, and I'm going to just, you know, and if people want to throw rocks at me and eventually put a bag over my head, that's what we're going to do. I'll be the elephant man. That's fine with me. But never will I ever enter into plastic surgery to the point where I now look like I'm from Mongolia. And I have Irish blood. Now, I got no problem with Mongolian people. They're brave people. They are fighters, warriors, the descendants of Genghis Khan. But can you imagine this Irish kisser with its freckles, and all of a sudden I'm looking at you with the buck-toothed Tojo look? Just, how you doing? Daddy-o, that ain't me, baby. That ain't me. That's somebody else. That ain't me. Now, this guy, what is wrong with Judy Garland's bloodline? What? There must be serious depression, serious neurosis, obviously substance abuse. The poor woman, Judy Garland herself, was born, and I know a lot of you guys don't think this is important, but I want you to know something. As butch and as macho as you think you are, Charlie, you're going to get old enough, you're going to want to have a little face talk, you're going to have a little... let me ask you this question. If there was surgery where you could successfully and in every real sense have your penis lengthened, wouldn't you go out and have it done? Of course you would, Chris. So don't tell me you're not going to have any plastic surgery. All these guys, yeah, I ain't no fag. Go and get my face all tucked up and everything. Now, penile extension up to 7 inches. Where do I sign up? That'll be more popular than boob enhancement. The day they come up with that one, it'll break all records for guys lining up there at the emergency room waiting to get all snipped and tucked. So this is why I'm saying this. Here's a guy, this David Guest. It has to be said, he's a freak. He's a self-mutilated freak. He now accuses Liza Minnelli of beating the crap out of him. Well, good for you, Liza. I'm glad you did. I hope you hit him over the head with a full vodka bottle. What do you think of that, pal? Is there anybody other than this poor Minnelli woman that didn't see this one coming? This woman is a tragedy beyond... well, I say tragedy. Good God, she's worth I don't know how many millions of dollars. What the hell am I saying tragedy? It's just that this family she comes from is so warped, so sad, so utterly pathetic. They gave everything for what? For show business? Judy Garland, she's 15 years old. This kid's being fed Dexedrine, Benzedrine. She's given Nebutol and all these downers, man. She can sleep at night. The kid's got a juice problem by the time she's 18. Like that Drew Barrymore kid. I guess she pulled herself out of it. Now all she does is produce, like, you know, billion-dollar hits. She has a daughter, Liza Minnelli. She marries, I don't know, how many guys she married? I don't know who these people are. She married a guy named Minnelli, right? Otherwise, why isn't she Liza Garland? Oh, for her dad's Vincent Minnelli? What's Judy Garland's name? I mean, in other words, she wouldn't be Liza Garland. She'd be Liza whoever the hell her old man was, right? Well, how come she's got a sister named Luft, as in 99 Luft Balloons by Nina? What the hell is that? So anyway, here's this poor Minnelli broad, and I say that with the greatest of respect. Poor Minnelli woman, I should say. She's got drug problems. She's fat. She's skinny. She's overweight. She ain't. She's sad. She's happy. Here's Liza. She's on stage, Broadway, cabaret, this, that, whatever. Some people think it's important. I wouldn't give you 5 cents for it to wind up the way this poor gal has wound up. Married the lizard man. And now this guy's going after her for 10 million fish in the dish. I hope she beat the crap out of you, you freak. That guy is another example of what I'm talking about. Him and Michael Jackson, they're all sick freaks. And we're told that we're supposed to respect and we're supposed to be happy for her. Why, she got married. How dare you make fun of Michael Jackson and make fun of Liz Taylor? I mean, yes, they're different. Yes, they're odd. But you know what? In their own way, they're happy. And it's their little world. You know that movie Freaks by Todd Browning? Did you ever see it? I saw it years ago over here at the Las Feliz. It's a brilliant film from the standpoint that it was courageous, showing this world that nobody wanted to look at. Other than that, I got no idea what point he was trying to make, other than the obviously, you know, the bull point about, yes, even though you're ugly on the outside, you can be pretty. Yeah, okay, that's great. Nice job, Mr. Browning. Whatever. Well, that's what her wedding to this guy Guest was like, that movie Freaks. Did you ever see it, Mark? Oh, my God. Freaks was made by the same guy that made Dracula. It was made back in 1932. To this day, it's still a very disturbing movie. To this day, people have a hard time watching it. And it was banned up until the 70s. It's about a circus and the freaks, see? And they're real freaks. And Browning did a casting. He did a whole casting session for Freaks. He went across the country. Seriously, he had people go all over the country looking for the great freaks of America. Now, apparently, back in those days, freaks, and it was still legal, these freak shows are still legal, were ego cases. They considered, you know, the bearded lady, she's the greatest bearded lady, and just because you're torso man, screw you. Okay? And they were also, they're big ego, guys with no arms and no legs with big egos, right? Can you dig this? And the bearded lady, she's got the big ego, and the dwarfs, they're all like, don't mess with me, I'm the top dwarf, I'm the top pulling dwarf on the coast. And they had the pinheads, I mean, these poor people, these microcephalic people with the little tiny skulls, and they had all kinds of real freaks. So Browning puts them all together in a movie, and he tells the story of a little midget who falls in love with this gorgeous trapeze artist, and he's loaded, the midget's loaded, and meanwhile, there's another little midget, female, who's in love with him, but he dumps her, he drops her like a bad habit, which, you know, dropping her, the fall is not that far, right? So anyway, he falls in love with his trapeze artist, and she figures out he's got dough, so she gets together with the weightlifter and says, I'm going to marry the midget, then we'll kill him, and we'll run off with his money. Well, the night of the wedding is one of the great filmed pieces in all of moviedom. It's the freak festival. You know, they're dancing, the pinheads are dancing on the table, and the trapeze artist is disgusted at all these midgets crawling all over her and drunk, you know, drunk midgets with Lugers, you know. And so finally that night, they make their move. Her and the weightlifter are going to kill the midget, get his dough, and split dodge. But the midget's friends, the other freaks, get wind of it. And that night, you see them pulling out guns and polishing them. There's one scene where there's a midget polishing a Luger. And then the torso man, literally a cat with no arms and no legs, is seen crawling through the mud with a dagger in his teeth. And the photography of these freaks crawling through the mud is very disquieting. And they chase down the trapeze artist and pin her against a tree. And they chase down the strong man and they pin him against a tree, and we don't know what happens to them until the next scene where you see that they have gelded him. They've literally cut his you-know-what off, and now he's singing soprano in a cage, and they've taken off her arms and legs, and they've turned her into the human chicken. So in other words, they've turned them into freaks. I mean, it's whacked. Now, why am I talking about this? Liza Minnelli and David Guest, I think, are two great people. No, anyway, you got to go see this flick. Rent it and see it. It's way out there. And this Liza Minnelli, she marries Lizard Boy, and what's she going to get out of that? She got out of the bargain, a $10 million lawsuit? He claims she hit him. He claims she beat him up. Did anybody not see this coming? Hey, Guest, wherever you are and whatever you are, man, are you kidding me or what? You think nobody knows this is going to happen? No, I got no great love or affection or even, I don't even really care what happens to Liza Minnelli, but right is right. And by the way, if you haven't heard, your face is frightening. Frightening. Oh, my God. What is it with you people with the plastic surgery? Don't you know how ugly you are? And don't you plastic surgeons out there know that you're mutilating a human being? Are you aware of this? Because if you're aware of it, I hope they take your license and jam your ass into prison so fast that your head's going to freaking spin, man. You'll look like one of them cats and freaks. You'll look like the human chicken. How come these guys get away with that? Who's the guy that did Michael Jackson's nose? Who's the cat that did that guy Guest's face? What is this? It's like some out of the House of Wax. Oh, my God. These guys are giving out plastic surgery until the person looks like Mummy Boy. They look like Bat Boy right out of the cover there of the World Weekly News. There's these guys. Hey, by the way, Chris, I know a plastic surgeon that'll make your ears pointed as long as you want to get fangs. Yeah, so you can look like Spock. You can look like a Vulcan vampire.
Jesus.
I bet you there are guys like that, too. And how about that Joan and Melissa Rivers? Well, at least they're not that unpleasant to look at. I'm not talking. Joan Rivers is. She looks like a Cupid doll. She looks like just a little, you know, like a little fake person. But at least she's not a horror story like that David Guest. You look at him and you'd swear to God his face was, somebody lit his face on fire with a blowtorch and stamped it out with a track shoe. And then he smiles and then it gets worse. Not better, worse. He smiles like, hee-hee. And this is how that freak show ends. $10 million, huh? And he had, and he's got headaches. And he has something wrong. I don't know. Who cares? And every time he smiles, his eyes disappear behind two lizard-like slits. All he needs is the tongue darting out for a fly. It's bad. It's bad, man. And it's getting worse, baby. Honest to God, somebody's got to do something about this plastic surgery thing. You guys out there in the plastic surgery, I know you think that I'm just making a big fat joke and Phil's just the guy on the radio who does the funny voices. So this will just be between you and me. Any of you plastic surgeons and me, okay? And everybody else just thinks I'm a big joke meister, and that's fine. You guys ought to be investigated. And when they get done investigating you guys, I bet you about half, a good 50% of you are going to wind up behind bars. Now, what do you think about them apples, huh? You want to dispute me on it? Would you like to call in and discuss it with me? And if you know of other plastic surgeons that are conducting this kind of Frankenstein surgery on people, where the nose comes off and the eyes look like they're, you know, that they're hidden behind lizard slits, you know guys that are doing this kind of surgery, why aren't you blowing a whistle on them? In other words, it's bad enough, man, that we've got all kinds of bioengineering going on. You guys are putting people under the knife, and you're turning them into the most frightening-looking freaks I've ever seen in my life. And we're told, oh, boy, aren't they good-looking? Yeah, uh-huh. Sure are. And by the way, ladies, let me make this point one more time, and then we'll take a break. And I know you don't want to hear this, but I'm going to have to say it. I'm the first guy to say it. Some of those boob jobs running around out there are about as embarrassing as really bad toupees. No kidding. Ain't kidding you. You know how bad guys look in those funky-looking rugs? Some of you chicks, man, with those so-called breast enhancements, you ought to go out and find the doctor and blow his brains out. Or at least perform a little, penile enlargement on him. All right, 1-800. Now there, see, isn't that a nice way to start the hour? Nice happy news hour? Yeah, there you go. Boy, Phil, you're right in it, man. By the way, we have this breaking news, and I didn't want to have to tell you this. Should I let this wait till after? I should. All right, but it ain't good, and it has to do with Britney Spears. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Dr. Jim Sadler today on The Phil Hendry Show. He'll be talking about that poor gal, Terri Schiavo, and what's happening there. We'll also have Larry Grover on and the Elizabeth Smart story. There's trouble brewing there between the Smart family, CBS, Doubleday, and a whole group of people. We'll be right back. Our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, yeah, the guy who called a threat into Kobe Bryant's accuser. You remember this punk who lives in Broken Whistle, Arkansas, or Busted Whistle, Nebraska, or No Ass, Iowa? I forget where he lives. His name is, Davenport, Iowa. Well, that's the same difference, ain't it? John Roach. That's his name. And he called a threat to Kobe Bryant's accuser, threatening to kill her, threatening to assault her, vowing all kinds of things, profanity-laced messages on this woman's answering machine. And he has pled guilty. He pled not guilty, but now he's pled guilty. Now, I got a suggestion if anybody wants to look this guy up. He'd be really easy to find in Davenport, Iowa. As a matter of fact, John, I might even give your name and address and phone number out on the air. What do you think of that? Little men, little tiny men, make anonymous obscene phone calls. Little tiny men. And here's a guy that's now guilty of threatening to kill this woman. Who knows what he's going to get as far as a prison sentence goes. You know, a slap on the wrist, a slap on his ass. He might even enjoy it. Britney Spears, meanwhile, suffers from lazy eye. That's right, we just have this in. A condition makes her right eye turn slightly in at about 30 degrees from another eye. This apparently was missed by scouts and talent agents as she made her rise to the top of the music charts and was also hidden by her mother. Today, someone from her record label, speaking on condition of anonymity, said, "Good sweet Christ, she looks like she took a brick off the side of the head." Now, GQ has come up with their big list of the top men of the year. They got the survivor of the year is Aaron Ralston. That's the guy who chewed his own arm off. Remember that? He got his arm caught between two bricks, so he chewed it off. Didn't he do that? Or he took a Swiss Army knife or something? You know, if he'd been caught on a jet, he wouldn't have been able to get his arm loose because they don't allow you to bring them Swiss Army knives on. So he would have just had to rip the arm out some other way. If he got his arm, for instance, caught in the jaw, say he reached in to get his watch that fell into the can and he hit the flush all at the same time, the suction alone will rip your arm clean off. And if it doesn't, that Swiss Army knife's going to have to come in pretty handy. And if you haven't got it because security won't let you bring it on, then you're going to have to chew your own arm off or ask a stewardess to do it for you. Funny man, Dave Chappelle, rookie, Stoudemire, coach, John Gruden, showman, Justin Timberlake, TV provocateur, Roger Ailes, design team. Well, this is really a dull list, but the biggest surprise on this list is defender Simeon Rice. Let me tell you something, GQ. You obviously don't know as much as you think you do. In fact, that's probably why you're losing so much market share to Details and Maxim. In other words, nobody reads your magazine anymore, okay? A, guys know how to dress just fine looking at other magazines, and B, you just don't have it anymore, okay, GQ? Why don't you call yourselves 86th? Simeon Rice is a turd. So you got that one wrong. Most exciting athlete? Michael Vick. He's injured. He's out for the season. His team sucks. You got that one wrong. Coach? John Gruden. Just got his ass kicked by San Francisco. You know what? What you guys should do is get out of the magazine business and get into the sports book business, because most of those guys are wrong, too. The guy that has that Girls Gone Wild site, Joe Francis. Nobody wants to be seen with this sick freak now, because you know what happened. You know what Girls Gone Wild is, right? You go on the website and you see a lot of chicks that are amateurs, and they're showing you their breasts. They're pulling up their tops. They're pulling down their pants. They're spreading their ass cheeks, whatever they're doing, right? This guy gets video of this, and he puts it up on his website, and then a bunch of schmucks like you and me put our credit cards in, and then we go and we watch it, and when our wives are asleep and our kids aren't around, and we just sort of do what we do, right? So anyway, this guy's, it turns out, some of the girls that he had on his site are underage, maybe. And that means every time you put your credit card into his website, guess what? You are now subscribing to a child porn site, which means that ain't too cool, which means his business has gone south, which means nobody wants to know this slob anymore. He tried to get into some bar in L.A. the other day, and they said to him, "Why don't you crawl back into the sewer you came out of, okay? And by the way, how about using a little mouthwash?" And also, Dennis Rodman got arrested for being drunk in public. Poor Dennis, man. It's over, baby. It's over. And like a child, you just keep on banging that stick in a garbage can lid, don't you, Dennis? People don't care. Go away. Go far away. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
We are in the process right now of calling every roach in Davenport, Iowa, until we find out whether we have this John Roach turd. He's the guy who has pled guilty to calling in death threats to the accuser of Kobe Bryant. See, what's good for the goose, baby, is good for the geese. You want to start releasing names of people? We got some names we'll release. I got some phone numbers that'll knock your wig off, brother. Just as an aside here, I wanted to mention a couple of women spotted a knife on a flight to Philadelphia. A lady pulled it out of her bag to cut up an apple. It was very innocent. Just a lady pulled a knife out of her bag to cut up an apple. It was extremely innocent. I just want to tell you, if you see something like that happen, if you see a person take a knife out of a bag to cut an apple on an airplane, beat the hell out of them. Grab them and beat them within an inch of their life, and they'll go, "What did I do? You got a knife! It's all I needed to see, pal. I'm ready to rock and roll. Am I going to take this plane down? Not with me. I'm cutting up an apple." "Yeah, cutting up an apple, huh? What are you doing with that knife?" "I don't know. I forgot I put it in the bag. You beat the hell out of me. You stabbed me and everything. Can I have my apple at least?" "No, I'm eating it. I happen to like Washington Delicious." "Pull out a knife on me, will you? I didn't pull it on you. I'm cutting an apple up." You just take the guy and start banging his head into the wall, into the bulkhead. Just boom, boom. Beat him within an inch of his life. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. And coming up, we're going to have Dr. Jim Sadler, who'll be talking with us about the Elizabeth Smart story that Sadler's talking about? Or is it Right to Die. Oh, yeah, that Shavo thing. The thing I wanted to talk about is the Elizabeth Smart story. Maybe you haven't heard this, but there's a big fight going on between Elizabeth Smart's father, CBS, and Doubleday Books over who owns the rights. Not over who owns the rights. I take that back. It's over when certain informations and materials would be released to the public. Ed Smart is the father of a girl who was kidnapped, raped, went through a trauma unlike any that most people ever have to go through in their entire lives. She's been the focus of all kinds of attention. Everybody wants to stick a microphone in front of her face. Everybody wants the story. Oprah Winfrey's already gotten her big fat microphone shoved up in a kid's face. Katie Couric has already gotten hers in there, and I'm sure others will follow. CBS wants to do a movie about it. And Doubleday Books, they want to do a book. Or maybe they've already done the book. I don't know. Now, the problem comes in here. There was an understanding, allegedly, that no materials concerning Elizabeth Smart would be released prior to, I believe, either the release of the movie or the release of the book. But CBS did a news special on Elizabeth Smart, and when that news special aired, I'm not sure. When the news special on Elizabeth Smart aired, I'm not sure. But it aired last Saturday. But it aired nonetheless, and Ed Smart got pissed off. Doubleday Books got upset. And CBS says, "Hey, no harm, no foul. You know, we had the material, and what are we supposed to do? We're CBS." Now, and I'm reading this thing, I'm thinking, okay, I know exactly what people are going to say about this. They're going to say, "How dare they profit at a young girl's misery? Ed Smart, the father should know better. Why, he's the father, he should protect her." Well, actually, he's the father, so yes, he is protecting her. He knows everybody wants the story, so he's going to say, "Okay, guess what? Before you start harassing my daughter, you're going to pay for it." I do the same thing. I do exactly the same thing, only I'd probably charge more than he has. She's been raped, she's been brutalized, she's been put through a living hell. You guys want her story? You're going to pay through the nose. And I'm going to pick and choose when and how my daughter gets interviewed. And you're not going to ask these questions, and you're not going to ask those questions. In other words, you're going to do exactly what I tell you to do, or you can take your cameras, your notebooks, everything, and park them right back up where you got them. Then there's Doubleday Books. Doubleday Books wants to do a book. And they've an agreement to do a book about this girl's plight. You pick it up, you can buy it, you can read about it. At your leisure. Now, who do you think in all of this, in my opinion, is the real dirtbag? Well, of course, it's CBS. It's a member of my, it's a member organization of my business. It's the broadcast business, naturally. The broadcast networks are in such a panic. they are in such a fear of losing their asses that they'll do anything. They'll put anything on the air. They'll do anything they can. They'll say anything they possibly can to start pulling some ratings. CBS is actually doing much better than they used to, but that's because they'll do anything. They'll swim through any sewer. They'll sip out of any toilet. And so if it means they got to break their word to somebody, if it means that they've got to go back on something that they gave their word on or that they signed their name to, well, what do they care? As long as they're going to, you know, they can squeeze a couple of more viewers out of the situation. So they put this news story on about Elizabeth Smart. It always kills me, man. Every time I got to read about an organization that is in my industry, which is broadcasting, doing something really slimy. It's always some broadcast outlet. It's always a network or a radio station or a TV station doing something so slimy that you want to go up and you personally want to confront them yourself as a member of the industry, right? What is it, you guys, man? I got a living I got to make out of this thing, okay? Ah, you don't get it, Phil. It's television. See, right now I'm dealing with television. Right now I'm dealing with a network, which shortly you may hear some things about because it's getting close and we may do a thing on a network. A thing on a network. That's all I'm going to tell you. It's a thing and it's on a network. And, you know, they're nice guys and everything's beautiful, but my God, these people are going to tear their freaking hair out over now they're measuring it in half viewers, not just one whole viewer. How many half people were watching? I don't know. Well, I was sitting on the toilet. Okay, your ass was sitting on a toilet, but your face was watching. That's one half of a guy. Okay. We can get half viewers, and by the way, Tony Blair's got a wonky eye, too. Now, moving on. This is the situation. So CBS slimed their way into this gig. They slimed their way into the Elizabeth Smart story. Now, this is a horrifying story. I got news for you, though. I have no interest in watching a movie about it. It must be something about me. I love true crime. I really do. I read every Anne Rule book that ever comes out because she does murder books like nobody. Oh, man, she does a great murder book. She wrote about Ted Bundy. Every freak that commits murder, Anne Rule writes a book about. I'm going to read it because she's fantastic. I don't know who's writing this Doubleday book, and I don't give a crap. But I got no interest in reading about Elizabeth Smart's story. You know, I know what happened. All I need to know is what I know, and forget about it. And the last thing I want to watch is an over-the-air movie of the week on CB freaking S. We'll be back with the Elizabeth Smart story right after this from Joy Detergent. Oh, my God, what a waste of your life. Hoo-hoo! Forget it, baby. You know, watch the Elizabeth Smart story on CBS, yeah. Showtime, now that's another thing entirely. I can't do it anymore, man. I can't watch those freaking commercials on TV. Radio commercials are great. They're compelling, they're interesting, they hold your interest. Television commercials suck, unless it's a network that's advertising on my show. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I think I can say this because it's news, but it's made news. Nah, I better not say anything about it. Let me just say this. They had a meeting. You guys watch television out there? Some of you watch TV? I watch TV. I only watch the NFL channel on DirecTV. I watch HBO and all the movie channels, and I watch Fox News, and I watch CNN, and that's about what I watch. And, of course, if I get a show on the air any time in my lifetime, I'll watch that one. Well, apparently Fox, Monday night, had a debut of Joe Millionaire, a new Joe Millionaire, in which foreign women would be chumped instead of good old domestic dumb American girls. And they also had a show called Skin, which was about the porn business. Some love story about the porn business. And it's got a great actor in it named Ron Silver, who I'm a huge fan of, but I didn't get around to watching. I don't know why. What was I doing Monday night? Oh, I know. I was playing Madden 2003 or 2004, whatever the hell my kids got me. Right? Anyway, the numbers, the ratings, as they say, were right through the floor. They couldn't have been any worse. They were horrible. And the fact is, nobody's watching TV this year. Now, I read an article here by Bill Carter, and if he hadn't have said it, I would. It's fantastic. The guy said, you want to know why people aren't... Well, he actually, it isn't his opinion. He's simply, there's people asking the question, why people are not watching TV? They never bring up the fact that it's possible the shows stink. The shows stink. Gee, why is viewership off? Well, first of all, this World Series, are you guys putting me on with that or what? I mean, what are you seriously asking me why nobody's watching the World Series? Are you seriously asking me that question? Nobody's watching the World Series because nobody wants to watch the World Series. And nobody wants to watch the World Series because it's not interesting to watch. It's an uninteresting event. It has the Florida Marlins with all due respect to you guys in Miami. I told you, no one likes the Marlins. No one cares about the Marlins. Nobody outside of Miami, and I doubt that hardly anybody in Miami gives a crap too, cares about the Marlins. The New York Yankees, the only people who care about them live in New York and pockets of Miami, the fifth borough of New York. No one wants to watch the World Series. Joe Millionaire. It's over, baby. It's old. It's an old concept. You got to spruce it up. You got to come up with some new ideas. Have Joe Millionaire be a midget. What about that? What if Joe Millionaire was Torso Boy from Freaks? Yeah, yeah. Then how much would those chicks want to be with a guy if he was made out of money? Yeah. See, these cats don't think creatively. They just throw the same swill out there day in and day out. Then this skin show. Whatever. If it's about porn, show porn. Who cares about some story about a love affair between a porn guy and the DA? Is show the porn. And you can't show porn on Fox, so don't even do it. Just because the guy's name is Jerry Bruckheimer, the guy that gave us such stellar shows as Pearl Harbor, holy God, doesn't mean that the TV show's going to be a killer. You dig? Your shows are not good, folks. Nobody wants to watch TV because there ain't nothing on to watch. Do you understand? Do you understand? It doesn't have anything to do with the viewing habits of America. The people just don't want to watch the stuff because it's crap. They might as well just go out back and throw rocks at railroad trains. Go out back and pee into the pond, whatever it is that gets them off. What other show they got coming out? They had that all of that crap they put on NBC, that Whoopi and that Happy Family and that Mismatch and the what was the other show that they put on? It was called Coupling. Holy God, you could see that abortion coming from 3 miles out. You could see that train wreck coming. Coupling, huh? Oh, I get it. It's Friends, and yet the Friends have sex with each other. Didn't they already do that on Friends? Oh, you mean it's going to be more graphic sex? All right, then show me the graphic sex. Don't hint at it. It's, in other words, it's like guys that say F you. Why don't you just say the word? Don't you have the guts? Don't you have the courage? Well, they won't allow me to say it on the radio. Well, then you'd look like more of a sissy than you already are. Then just don't even say it. And if you're going to say you're going to talk about sex, you're going to show sex, then show the freaking sex, otherwise shut up. And I mean show it all, man. That's why I said, what was it, about a month ago? I said, you're going to see by the end of this decade, don't even worry about it. You're going to see graphic sex on screen in legitimate films. Now, what do I mean by legitimate films? I mean by actors who make more than $500,000 a picture, I guess. I don't know what the hell I mean. In other words, people like, you know, like I said, J-Lo, it'll extend her career, man, because, you know, she couldn't act her way out of a wet paper sack, but if they're showing graphic sex between, oh, let's say J-Lo and a midget, then we may want to actually hang around and watch it. J-Lo, a midget, and a can of Crisco. Let's go. Let's go for Crisco. Because that'll extend her career, if you'll pardon the expression, a long way. So, don't talk about it, do it. So they're all bummed out and they're all pissed off, right, that this thing ain't happening the way they want it to happen, and they think there's some kind of a fluctuation in the ratings. Nobody's watching TV because the shows stink on high, man. And that poor John Ritter, the only hope anybody had was that 8 Rules for Dating My Daughter, or whatever, the 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Daughter, and John Ritter, one of the funniest cats ever to be on television, the poor man dies last season, and guess what? That's the end of that one. And there's nothing else. That 70s show, all those shows that were the, you know, NBC hanging around with Friends and ER, hoping against hope that somebody's going to come back and actually want to watch those shows again. Those shows are so done, it ain't even funny. And I want to get into that business? I must be out of my mind. I want to get into the TV business again? I ought to go out and pipe the freaking exhaust into my car and just go ahead and do the honorable thing. Just go ahead and do the honorable thing, man, that I would want to immerse myself back into that business after getting out with the hair on my, well, I was going to say the hair on my head. I didn't. But I got out with a little bit of it on my chin. But you know what? If you hit the, if they hit the ball a long way in that business, baby, you can retire and you are done. Done. Because God knows, you know, radio is a wonderful thing, but it ain't that great. By the way, they released a video of the Columbine, speaking of great TV, the only thing that was interesting on today is they released a video of the Columbine gunman practicing before they did the do over there in Columbine. These kids, these scumbags, this Dylan Klebold, this guy who, boy, if only I would have known, if somebody close to them would have known, if someone could have saved these boys, if someone could have found these two boys, Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris, and gone up to them and said, boys, what are you doing with your lives? And then taken out a chainsaw and gone to work on them. Leatherface, I think, would have been a great youth counselor for these guys. Did you see the video? And they talked to a young guy who survived the attack, who's written a book about it. He said, geez, I can't even watch it. All of a sudden, everybody who is trying to get over this attack in Colorado, they come out with this video, and now everybody's back in therapy again. So these guys are out in trench coats. They've got sawed-off shotguns. They're shooting from the hip. They've got pistols. These are the two guys that killed, I don't know how many people there at Columbine, and they got this video. Where do these things come from, and who made it? And why did they make it? I guess they really wanted to be thought of well after they went away, is that it? Well, I'll say it again, and I said it before. Let me just go right ahead. The parents of these two guys are so culpable, it's not even funny. I don't give a crap how surprised they were, and I haven't heard anything out of any of them. I think they're a disgrace. Wherever they are and whoever they are, they ought to be run out of town on a rail. What else am I pissed off about? That's it. I feel good. I got it out of my system, man. Coming up, we got Dr. Jim Sadler, and he's got something stuck in his thing that you're going to want to listen to. Also, Larry Grover has got a problem. I mean, everybody's got a problem today, baby. It's Tuesday. What is it, Wednesday? It's even worse. It's Wednesday, which means the week is sort of half over, but not quite, right? People are telling me I'm sounding angry lately, and I said, good. They said, well, gee, Phil, it scares me. I said, good. They said, do you think the audience likes it? I said, yeah. They said, okay. 1-800-449-8686. Be right back with Dr. Jim Sadler on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
But now you've heard the story, I'm sure you've at least seen it a little bit on TV, the story of Terry Schiavo, a lady who has been comatose since 1990 due to heart failure. And her family and her husband have been fighting over her life, literally, whether the plug should be pulled or not. Her husband wants feeding stopped. He would like his wife to die. As he feels the quality of her life probably is not such that would make living worth it. And her family, that is, his in-laws, don't want her to. Dr. Jim Sadler is on the phone with us. Dr. Sadler, you've dealt with a lot of these so-called right-to-life issues, and we know you're on vacation. We're happy to be able to talk with you. Can you tell us what, in your mind, this story is about, this Terry Schiavo, this poor woman who is in a vegetative state, as the courts in Florida have said, and her husband's desire to have her feeding tube removed and her family's desire to have it put back in, which, by the way, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, Phil. My understanding is that Governor Jeb Bush, and I'll try to move to a quieter area, Governor Jeb Bush did rule that the feeding tube be put back in.
What is this about, in your opinion?
So this is a modern American tragedy. Here we have a young woman deprived of her sight, her hearing, her locomotion, in short, everything that constitutes life. We have a young husband who desperately is trying to give his wife a blessed release from this earth so that she may move on and touch the face of God, as the poets tell us. And on the other side, we have a group of in-laws, sisters, brothers, uncles, who think that it's really all about them and what they want. They're trying to garner publicity for themselves. They want to, you know, they want to see themselves on the Oprah show. I've known Oprah Winfrey for a long time. We go way back when she was a stringer for the Chicago Tribune. I know her, and I know what she's about. So, you know, and everybody wants to be on a show. And this group of people that the in-laws that are so insensitive to their sister or daughter's plight that they would keep her alive indefinitely so they can see their faces in the Wall Street Journal and so that her poor, grimacing face can be seen over and over again on TV. I think this is a battle really between a husband who loves his wife and a group of opportunistic in-laws who want a limo ride and a stay at the Ritz to be in the Oprah Winfrey show. You know, so in short, I think it's a battle of good and evil.
It's a battle of good and evil, and on the good side is the husband.
Without question.
And on the bad side, there's another side, though, the genuine care that the blood family, and these are the people that are odds, the husband and the blood relatives of Terry Schiavo, the care that the blood family has for their daughter and sister, no?
So we're talking about a husband's love for his wife, which we know is far greater than what a woman's family would feel. And the proof is that he has stayed with her despite a group of in-laws constantly intruding, constantly giving their opinion about everything, you know, generally being extremely difficult to live with, and yet he stayed married to her. And I think Michael Schiavo, the husband here, is the victim, really. He has earned his life back. And this just isn't about Terry's right to die. This is about Michael's right to live and to begin again with another woman and finally be rid of these publicity-seeking in-laws that are trying to reach the stars on his back and on their own daughter's poor, sweet face that reflects such pain that we see in the news every day. Thank God Terry has Michael, because these in-laws, you know, you talk about hillbillies butting into matters that are so far beyond their grasp. I want to be sick.
All right, now we're not talking about a wife that was... I know in your case, Doctor, and we're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler about the Terry Schiavo case, a lady who is in a vegetative state. Her husband wants to pull the feeding tube. The family doesn't. You feel the husband and wife, the husband's doing the right thing, and the family members just want to be in the Oprah Winfrey show, correct?
I think there is a disgusting publicity seeking on the part of the in-laws. Terry Schiavo's family couldn't possibly know their daughter like her husband does. And again, a husband's love for a wife is far stronger than anything that woman's mother or father will ever feel.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler, who is with us, he is a psychoanalyst from the Tadler Institute in Big Sur and Monterey, California. In your case, Dr. Sadler, you had a wife who was ill, correct?
No, she was not.
All right, but there was a similar situation in your family?
Phil, I had in-laws when I was married to my first wife who seemed to think that they knew my wife and what she needed better than me. And this is what I'm talking about, and they intruded into my life. And it's one of the reasons why I got into the work that I do now. I'll never forget as long as I live.
Because on the dust jacket to your book, it says that you admit battered your wife.
Yes, I did. We had disagreements, and disagreements that could have been worked out were it not for the fact that she had a very angry and a very hateful and abusive brother who seemed to think it was his business every time she claimed that I hit her.
Well, you don't deny hitting her, right?
No, I do not. I do not. But I didn't hit her that bad. And I didn't hit her that bad, and certainly not hard enough for her brother to think he gets to come over to my house, take a crescent wrench from my workbench and hit my knees and do the damage that he did. My advice in right to die issues the husband has full say because the family, the in-laws, must be presumed to hate the husband.
I got to tell you something. There's a lot of men out there who are married. Maybe they get along with their in-laws. Maybe they don't. I have in-laws. I get along with them fine.
Would you say that they would choose you over their daughter?
I wouldn't expect them to choose me over their daughter.
Well, I can tell you, believe me when I tell you, that in-laws hate their son-in-laws. They suspect their son-in-laws of doing things that are bad. And in the case of Terry Schiavo and Michael Schiavo, a young lady lying in a vegetative state, a young lady whose life is over, it's over. You'll never bring her back. Look at the pictures of her face. Look at the empty stare in her eyes. Look at the almost wanting to die expression on her face. Her husband wants to give her that. He wants to remove the feeding tube. But the family of this woman, the blood relatives, and Governor Jeb Bush of the state of Florida, by the way, who is without question superseding his authority in this matter, without question, they want to prolong the hell that this woman lives in so they can be on the Oprah Winfrey show, so they can have their face on the Newsweek magazine and get a limousine ride to the Ritz on the TV show. I can't believe that her family wants to cart her around like a circus animal so they can be on the Oprah Winfrey show. And for me, as a doctor, I have to speak out.
You don't deny having beat up your wife.
Well, you know, Phil, I never should have mentioned it. Yes, I did beat up my wife, but... And this was my first wife. This was Carrie Ann. This is before I was graduated from school. Her brother took a crescent wrench to both of my kneecaps. I have steel-reinforced knees. I have titanium knees today because of what her brother did to me. My wife's brother had no right to interfere in our relationship.
But you were beating the woman up.
It doesn't make any difference. I wasn't beating her so bad that he comes over and I have titanium knees now. I wasn't beating her so bad so he comes over and beats me up. See, the in-law, again, is the enemy of every... Terry's parents, this Schiavo lady, they wanted to stay alive because they love seeing themselves all over the news. And the husband just wants to move on with maybe with a new woman, maybe not. Maybe with a new man, I don't know.
All right, hold on, Dr. Sadler, and thank you for joining us. I know you're on vacation. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Terry Schiavo story out of Florida. A lady who's been in a woman who's been in a vegetative state since 1990. Her husband wants to pull the feeding tube. Her family, her blood relatives, her mother, father, sisters, brothers do not. The feeding tube was pulled, but it was reinserted this week under an order from the governor of Florida, Jeb Bush. Dr. Sadler is on with us to express the opinion that it must be assumed the in-laws will hate the husband and that the husband's love for his wife is far superior to those of the in-laws, and that this is about him trying to get his wife into a peaceful state, and the in-laws just want to see themselves on television. If this were you, if this was your daughter, and the husband, your son-in-law, said, I want to pull the feeding tube, how would you respond to that? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Dr. Jim Sadler's joined us on vacation, and we appreciate it, Dr. Sadler, about the Terry Schiavo story, a lady who is in a vegetative state. Her husband would like to pull the feeding tube. Her family wants it kept in, and Governor Jeb Bush, I guess, is siding with the family, correct, Doctor?
That's my understanding. He ordered the feeding tube reinserted because he... stands to get some press out of this, as does the family. And, again, If you've had experience with in-laws the way I have, you know that they're people who just want to see their faces in the newspaper. Most families are jealous of a son-in-law anyway and will do anything to interfere with his decision, whether it be to pull a plug or what type of wallpaper to put in the nursery or where he gets his oil change. No matter what he says, there's always going to be a mother-in-law sticking her nose in and making everything bad, even though they had it figured out good. And I can tell you, here's a young husband who simply wants his wife to be released from the hell she's in so he can move on with other, you know, with other women or another woman.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So Terry Schiavo is being kept alive by hateful in-laws who just want to see their faces in the newspaper, as opposed to being allowed to die, which is what her husband would like. Here is Kelly on the Phil Henry Show. Kelly?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Doctor, I actually don't know what college or school you went to, but I think you're full of crap. There is no way on God's green earth a man can love his wife more than a mother or father can.
What do you mean, what college I went to?
Myself.
I graduated from the University of Tampa.
Well,
I did my postgraduate work at Harvard. I obtained my internship at Vanderbilt University, and I did my neurosurgery at the University of Virginia. So I think my credentials are solid.
Well, sir, that's paperwork.
What are your credentials other than knowing how to load another stack of moo cow creamers into the back of the trailer there?
Let me tell you what my credentials are, sir.
Yes, sir.
I have four beautiful children, two sons and two daughters.
And do you have in-laws?
I do not believe there will ever be a man that will be able to love my daughters any more than I do.
Do you have a mother-in-law and a father-in-law?
Yes, sir,
I
do.
You know they hate your living guts.
They don't.
They would let you die a slow, bloody death if it meant saving their daughter.
No, sir.
Okay.
You're speaking of something you don't know, sir. Me and my in-laws get along very well together.
Yeah.
My in-laws actually take my point over my wife constantly.
Wait till your wife is on a flat line or she's laying in bed with a tube coming out of her throat. Then we'll see how well you agree with them.
Sir, you want me to tell you why I agree with them? Because as long as there's a glimmer, a sparkle of hope that my wife may someday, they may find a cure for this. You know, if they let this lady die, husband pulls this out, and she dies, and in 6 months they find a way of curing this, medicine is getting advanced every day, sir. I am not college educated, no, sir, never claimed to be. But
sir,
I have one thing you seem don't have, sir. I have compassion,
sir,
and common sense.
I know that the moon is not made out of green cheese, and all the hoping and praying is not going to make it made out of green cheese. And you, sir, want the moon to be made not only out of green cheese, you want it made out of Roquefort with big, you know, you think it's funny. But
take a look
at this lady in the newspaper, and the look on her face is, you know, she wants out of this world. Why not somebody open a door and push her out? That's what I say.
Push her out.
Sir, I don't see how you can claim, you know, I guess you're wanting the moon made out of cream cheese, too, because you are psychic. You are saying you are psychic and able to read that young lady's mind.
I'm sitting here
That is a tragedy what's happening.
I'm having an argument.
What her husband's trying to pull is a travesty in itself.
Oh, so you're going to butt in, too. She's got the in-laws, and now you, the truck driver from God knows where, is going to butt in, too. This poor guy, all he wants to do is pull the plug, push her out the door of the airplane. He's got a new wife, I understand, a couple of new kids. He's got, you know, look, once your wife goes into a coma, that mother-in-law that you think loves you will be accusing you of raping your daughters in a New York minute. And I can tell you, yeah, it'll happen.
All right, thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Walker. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I got a question for you, Sadler.
What's your question? He's an idiot. Joanne, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I've been following this whole case, and I know for a fact that the husband has been interfering as far as any rehabilitation.
Oh, you don't know anything.
And the neurologist that has seen Terry.
What do you mean rehabilitate? How are you going to rehabilitate a mummy?
Because a neurologist has seen Terry, and he was willing to help her. And she is not
for the right
in a
price.
Coma.
For the right price, any doctor will say
no,
he can help her, right?
No, she is not in a coma.
She doesn't know whether it's day or night. She doesn't know it's a penny
she
minus two bucks is a buck 99.
She knows a lot more than you think she knows.
Really? You've talked to her?
I know the family, and I know people that have talked
you
to her.
Don't. You think
and
you
know
the family. You think you know the family. Well, this is a big thing about publicity. All you guys want to get on the Oprah Winfrey show. That's all
no,
you
No, it has nothing
do.
To do with Oprah Winfrey. It's to save Terry.
Look at
and Terry is a human being.
Yeah, and human beings die, too. I hate to break the news to you. I know you think you're going to live forever, but
her husband has a life.
News here.
He has a new
that
woman and he has
man,
a child.
That poor man is
He
dying
has a very good life, and the parents want him to release
yeah,
her.
The parents want
her
to be laying in a bed someplace, staring at the ceiling with her neck sticking out like that.
She doesn't do
and,
that. She follows them. She knows them when they come into the room.
Does she play handball? Yes
but
or no?
He doesn't want them to even sit with her.
Does she play
when
handball?
When they were pulling the plug, he
well,
didn't even want them in the room with her.
He doesn't want them in the room because he doesn't want them mugging for ABC. Everywhere they go, they bring a camera crew.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they bring a camera crew and a couple of writers from Mad Magazine or whatever.
That's not
something.
True.
This woman, Terry Schiavo, does she play soccer?
Don't be ridiculous.
Okay, so what is she doing?
Rehabilitated.
You're trying to tell me rehabilitated from what? That's like
now
saying,
that she has a new guardian, maybe she will get.
Hey, you know something? Let me go over here to the graveyard. I'll dig up a few stiffs and rehabilitate them too, because that's what you think we can do. And the parents want to prop her up in Oprah Winfrey's chair and make her sip tea through a straw,
but they don't.
So they can get their faces on the Newsweek magazine.
That's not what they're looking for.
And another thing, it's costing Terry's husband a lot of money every day by keeping her alive. How much money
That's
is it
ridiculous.
Costing him?
He has money
well,
that he got from the from
Yeah, let me
lawsuit.
Tell you, isn't there insurance involved here, Dr. Sadler?
Look, the only reason Michael Schiavo remarried is to stop him from going to hookers. And what I'm trying to say here is...
What the hell kind of a statement is that to make?
I didn't say that he remarried because he's not divorced
what?
Yet. I said he has somebody that he's
yeah.
been with
oh,
and
well.
That he has a child with
okay.
and he's very happy.
Well, I'm looking at a lady here in the news, and she's staring like she's got her eyeballs bugged out like she doesn't know whether it's a camera or a turnip or it's a sunflower that's staring at her. And you're going to rehabilitate her? I don't think so.
All right, thanks very much. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking here with Dr. Jim Sadler about a lady named Terry Schiavo, whose husband, he says, would like to pull the feeding tube so she can go into the other world, and her family won't let him pull that feeding tube because as long as she's alive, they have an opportunity to go on the Oprah Winfrey Show and be on Newsweek magazine. That's Dr. Sadler's point of view. It also comes from a man who admittedly beat his wife, and he was beaten in return by her brother, and that's why he says in-laws hate husbands. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dr. Jim Sadler joins me from Las Vegas, correct?
Yeah, we're here. Cassie and I are here at the Bellagio Hotel at the invitation of Mr. Craig Taylor, who is a terrific gentleman here in Las Vegas.
Okay. Well, anyway, I wanted to ask you, Dr. Sadler, you say that... That there is, frankly, that a husband's love for his wife is greater than any of the blood family.
Well, and the proof is that, as I said, he has stayed with her with all these butting in-laws. And I know I stayed with my wife far longer than I should have. And that's why I started to beat her, because I should have got out while the getting was good. And instead, her brother-in-law, you know, attacked me. And I know from experience, if a woman has to choose, and let's talk about this, Phil, for just a second. What would Terry want? Terry is the most important person here. She's the one in the vegetative state. And she's the one that has been vegetating since 1990. And everybody seems to think that she's just having a ball. She's having the time of her life, and let's keep her alive so her mother, father, sister, brother, all the in-laws can get on the Oprah Winfrey show and get on the Montel Williams show. And meanwhile, she's sitting there, and she doesn't know whether it's someone's hand or a piece of steak or a car or what it is. And meanwhile, the husband wants to do what we say in our drills. He wants to open the emergency exit of life and push her out. Just let her go. And the family wants to be on the Oprah Winfrey show. And this is, to me, this is inexcusable. Inexcusable.
Dr. Jim Sadler about Terry Schiavo and her husband's fight to pull the feeding tube, which was turned back by Governor Jeb Bush this week. He's put the feeding tube back. You know, a legal decision there that the family, the blood relatives, are applauding. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Winona. Hello, Winona. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes. I'm Winona Everett. Look, my husband was in the coma for a long while.
I'm Dr. Jim Sadler. How are you, ma'am?
All right, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
My husband was in the coma.
Yes, ma'am.
In a coma for about 3 or 4 months or 5 years, for a long time.
How come?
He was sick. He had emphysema and everything. And all of a sudden, he slipped into a coma.
Yes, ma'am.
And he was in a coma for about 3 or 4 months, or maybe longer than that. And we had gone into the room. The doctor called us in and said his brains were damaged, and said if he come out of it, he would be brain damaged.
Right.
He had been brain damaged. He would be brain damaged.
Right.
And yes, sir. And then when there was another Brown doctor named Dr. Brown. He came in.
Oh, Dr. Brown, Yes.
Yeah, Dr. Brown came
right,
in.
I know him.
Wait a minute. And
go
then
ahead.
He came in. You know what he said? He said, no. My husband about 40, 50 years old. He said, no, don't pull the plug on him. He said, because he is too young to die. So let him stay on. Let him stay on another 2 or 3 weeks. And we did. And you know what happened? The nurse was standing over watching him, and then all of a sudden, he awakened. Then he told the nurse, he said, what the damn hell y'all standing over looking at me like this?
Is that
nurse,
right? That's amazing. Now, when he woke up and he looked at you, Winona, did he think you
No, he didn't look at me. The nurse, nurse was standing over.
I bet you he thought you were Missy Elliott when he first saw you, didn't he?
No, the nurse was standing over him, and the nurse said, no, he told the nurse, what the damn hell y'all standing over looking at me like this right here?
Isn't that a wonder? Now, is he dead? Is he alive? Where is he now?
We was married for 50 years.
Well, see,
no, he came out of it, and he lived, that was almost 70 years old.
Well, now, honey, how is he? So he's passed on, is what you're saying.
Yes.
And how many years after he came out of the coma, and you said he saw you and he thought you were Halle Berry? Is that what he said?
No.
I thought that's what you said.
No.
No, she didn't say.
The nurse was standing over him.
He said you were Missy Elliott.
No.
No, she didn't say that.
All right, then I'm missing something.
You are missing something, yes. I said the nurse was standing over him, and he asked the nurse, what the damn
right.
hell?
Can I ask you something, darling? Are you sure that was your husband? And were you in the right room?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
I know my husband because I've been married to him for 50 years.
Well, of course you are, darling. And I just wanted to make sure you knew you were in the right room.
What kind of a question is that?
One thing I want to say to you, sir.
Yes, dear.
What? You said the governor stepped in and...
Yeah, Governor Jeb Bush of the state of Florida, right.
Yes. Has he ever did that to anyone else before?
Well, Jeb Bush had to do it for his brother George, who had been in a coma. And
will you quit fooling around? The lady is trying to...
Well, I want to know... No, he did not, Winona. No, he did not. This is the first, as far as I know.
Okay.
All right.
You know why? The lady gonna live. Y'all gonna leave
well,
that lady
what did you do with the boyfriend you had once your husband woke up?
I don't fool around.
I'm not like her.
Now, wait a minute. But I'm what about
I understand. I understand, darling.
I'm not like that, sir.
Okay. Jeb Bush wanted to pull the feeding tube on his brother George.
Will you just shut up a little while?
Yes, ma'am.
My husband died August of 6th of 99.
August 6th, 1999.
I do not have no boyfriend, no husband.
Now, darling, is your husband still in a coma?
Her husband has passed on.
I know he has passed on.
I know, but I want to know if he's still in a coma.
If he's dead, he wouldn't be in a coma, would he?
Son,
I'm sorry.
Do you understand?
Who did your husband think he was?
You know what?
Are you
Winona,
a doctor, sir?
Yeah, are you a doctor, Dr. Sadler?
Well, why do you think they call me Dr. Sadler? Am I a doctor? They call me Dr.
Well,
Sadler.
Well, you sure don't talk like one. You talk like somebody that don't have it all.
Well, darling, could I speak with your husband right now, please?
Can you speak to my husband?
Yes,
I told you he had passed and not alive. How can you?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
She said her husband's dead in 1999.
I said he passed in August the 6th of 1999.
What were his first words when what are you all looking at me? Right? Is that it?
No.
Oh.
But he was in a coma and he awakened.
Right.
And he told the nurse, he said, what the hell y'all stand up looking at me for? They didn't think people would come out. And then they said, the doctor said, told us that if he come out of coma, he would be a vegetable because he'd be brain dead. And he wasn't.
But he rose on the third day, and that's the great thing about Jesus.
That she's not talking about Jesus. She's talking about her ex-husband.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
What do you mean he said, what are y'all looking at me?
Because when he came out of the coma,
he didn't realize he had been in a coma. When he came out of the coma, he told the nurses what the hell were they standing there looking at him because nurses were watching him. And
you know,
the nurses went and got...
Yeah, that's a great story. It's a great
story. Because the doctors told him, the doctor told us that he would be a vegetable. He wouldn't know anything when he come out of that coma. He did.
He'd be a vegetable. You know, I thought when you said he woke up and he said, what the hell are y'all looking at me for? I thought you were talking about Jesus.
No, look, Winona, thank you very much. And that's a beautiful story. All right, dear. Bye-bye.
What do you mean? What, you making me sound like I'm an asshole?
Yeah, you treated her like one.
What did I do?
I thought you were talking about Jesus. What the hell are y'all looking at me for?
And then he rose to heaven.
Let me go over here to Maliza. Maliza, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
I just want to tell the doctor that I think he's a sick son of a bitch.
Why? Because I happen to stand up for the rights of a lady who's about the mental state of roadkill.
All of a sudden you care about Terry and you were saying how we should dig up dead bodies and rehabilitate them.
Well, come on. I mean, who are you kidding?
You don't care about her. Well, you don't care about her husband. You don't care about anything. She still has a soul. She's still conscious.
And her soul can go to heaven. Why won't you let it go to heaven where it belongs?
By starving her, that's demonic. That's disgusting.
Well, how do you want to die? What if you die by being run over by a steamroller? Are you going
to
do
something? This is not about me. I called in to give my opinion of how sick I think you are.
Yeah, but you can't say why. You just think I'm sick because you disagree with my opinion.
Because you're so cynical, and even now with this poor lady, Winona, telling you about her story of her husband, you're trying to make a joke of it.
You don't care
about what's going on here.
Yes, I do. I'm saying that Terry Schiavo should have the right to wing her way to heaven like one of God's sweet angels and not be down here and be used as a circus animal for her family because they want to prop her up in Oprah Winfrey's chair with a ball in her hand, and see, she can squeeze a ball. Go ahead and squeeze it, Terry. I mean, come on.
Well, it comes to think that maybe her family really does love her and doesn't want to let her go that easy.
If they loved her, they would take themselves out of the equation, and they would realize that being on the Opal Winfrey show is not the best.
Why do you keep calling her Opal?
I thought that was her name.
Her name is Oprah. Opal Winfrey. I'm going to freaking flip out with this Opal Winfrey.
And I don't understand why you keep mentioning that. Has it ever come to you that maybe they do care about her, they do love her?
Has it ever gone?
Mother's love, how you had said that a husband's love,
is
a mother's
way stronger.
Love.
A husband's love is way stronger than a mother's love. You know why? Because a husband buys her a mink stole and everything, and the mother, all she does is knit socks.
Really, it's about money now? You live in Las Vegas with your Bellagio hotel. That's all you think about. There's human beings that have a lot of feelings and that love that woman and don't want to let her go, especially by starving her.
Let me tell you something. I just hit 23 red and you're calling me a cheap creep.
I'm sorry?
I hit 23 red, $3,000. Yeah, put it on black this time.
Look, Winona's back here. Hold on, Maliza. Will you hang on?
Yeah.
All right. Winona, go ahead. You're back on the Phil Henry Show. Winona?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. You must be on a cell phone. Are you there?
I'm cell phone.
Not very well. Keep talking, though.
Okay, are you the one? You're the doctor that I was talking to a few minutes ago?
Yes, this is Dr. Jim Sadler.
Okay, sir. The one that I was talking to, I don't know who he is, but I tell you what, he's one stupid doctor. He's no doctor. He's one stupid ass. He needs to be off in this show. He don't need to be talking to nobody because he don't know what he's talking about. He is one stupid doctor.
Well,
I
want
to talk to you no more.
What did I say?
You was die. You don't have no color. Sit down. You're a stupid man.
I'm stupid.
You don't need to be on the show talking to nobody because you don't know what you're saying. You're talking in rooms and all that kind of stuff. You are an ignorant doctor. Ignorant bastard doctor. Bye.
Well, now, I don't know what to say. I'm flabbergasted by the... Winona, you need to lay down because you're going to get excited to slip into a coma. Well, she hung up.
Melissa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, you want to beat me up, too?
No, I don't want to beat
you up. You want to call me a turd? And say that I'm a stupid, ignorant bastard?
No. You're cynical, and I, you know, you are what you are.
I would agree with that,
Melissa.
I think he's cynical, too, Melissa. You're right.
He is very.
You're such a baby.
Why isn't you...
Yeah, I'm going
to
hang up.
Why are you even giving your opinion on all of it? It's not even worth hanging on myself to keep talking to you.
Look at this, huh? Yeah! 23 black again.
All right, Melissa.
I will say this, Melissa, that I believe that Terry Schiavo someday will be sitting at the right hand of God, and the rest of us will still be down here with our pains and our troubles. Yes, sir. I really believe. Oh, Winona hung up.
All right, Melissa, thank you very much.
Are you angry?
Yeah, I'm angry.
Why?
Yes, sir.
Well, I thought that... Some old bitch hit the nickel slot jackpot.
Okay, see you later. 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler on the Terry Schiavo story. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, comedy. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, by the way, the voice of Dr. Jim Sadler was performed by me, Winona. It was me, and it wasn't a real guy. And, boy, I sure hope your husband, you know, is... I hope he's waiting for you on the other side. All right, 1-800, and I think that's a hell of a thing for a guy to say when he comes out of a coma of 3 months. What the hell are you looking at? That's great. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Next hour, Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County and a very interesting take on the Elizabeth Smart story. It's turned a little nasty because, well, there are media wars going on now over the rights of this girl's story. We're going to talk to Larry Grover about that story. Mother Teresa, they just beatified her. That's right, they beatified her. Don't ask me what that is, but they did it, and it doesn't sound good. You mean it is? They beatified her all over the place, man. They did it with a big ugly stick. No, they beatified her, and now she's going to be... It's the first stage toward becoming a saint. Now, I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church. I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church of Southern California, which is a whole other thing. It's like a sun-baked church out here. You know, the Monsignors are all just, you know, rah! The hell, you know, you boys race your bike down there, come back, I'll give you a dollar. Don't have time for any fiddling. Tired. There's no molestation, Father? Nah, I don't give a crap. Get out of here. Anyway, Mother Teresa's going to be beatified. Now, they want her to be a saint. You see, it isn't enough what she did. You understand? This is another thing about the church. The church is an interesting institution from a lot of levels, and it's been bashed up one side and down the next for many, many years, and mostly by Catholics. Mostly by Catholics. So when the Muslims start going nuts and the Jews start going ape about some of the cracks that we do on our show, just remember that Catholics, man, they got a special place in our heart here, because I are one. Now, what she did in her life, from what I'm from where I'm sitting, looked pretty good. She fed babies, she clothed the poor, she fed the hungry. She was working in the most abominable conditions. She was working in the biggest cesspools and sewers of Bombay, India, that you could possibly imagine. I mean, nobody I know would even go near a situation like that, let alone dive into it, live in it, and be in physical and personal and emotional contact with the people in that life for years and years and years and years, to the extent that you are helping, creating missions for them, etc. I mean, look, folks, let's be honest. Nobody that's listening to me right now is capable of doing that kind of work. Come on, you know that I'm not. You're not. You're not. I don't know anybody. There's nobody listening to the radio right now that even approaches having the ability to do what Mother Teresa did. Americans, where do you find that kind of person? Where? They're nowhere. We walk by some bum in the street and we step over him, right? If we're in a halfway good mood, we give him a buck. That's about as far as it goes. We write it off on our taxes when we give a few thousand to a charity every year. That's as far as we go. This woman lived with him. But guess what? She ain't a saint yet. You know why? Because she didn't perform some super normal or paranormal feat. So it's not enough that you feed a baby, not enough that you cure the crippled, not enough that you're giving every moment of your life to these people. You also have to have the ability to, like, levitate or fly or something. You got to be able to throw an automobile across a river. In other words, you have to be the Green Lantern. You got to be Superman. Why didn't they saint him, man? Talk about miracles. Saint Superman. That guy was, he couldn't make the freaking blind see, but he could sure as hell, he could change the earth on its axis. Mother Teresa do that? Does it make her a saint? Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
I want to talk to... Well, whatever that was. I want to talk to Larry Grover, who's on the phone with us. He was with conservatives of Kern County. And he feels that the Elizabeth Smart story being turned into a movie by CBS and a book by Doubleday is another typical example of the liberal press distorting and promoting a story that probably shouldn't be distorted. Well, no story should be distorted, but shouldn't be promoted. And Larry, we thank you for being on the program with us.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Larry, I know that you are sort of inactive now as a conservative in the Republican Party, but you are still very active in keeping an eye on the liberal media. What do you make of this Elizabeth Smart story, a story, and CBS's involvement, and Doubleday, etc.? And where are you right now?
Phil, I'm at a bingo. We're having bingo for assorted members of the veterans that are assembled here, and we do a charity bingo for them on Wednesday nights.
Okay, so you're not...
No, I'm not conducting the game. I'm just passing out iced tea and some of the drinks and some of the refreshments.
So tell me what you make of CBS Doubleday and the Elizabeth Smart story and Ed Smart and his involvement in this.
Well, the situation with the Elizabeth Smart story and CBS now playing a fair with the Smart family is typical of a liberal press. Here's a horrible story of a young girl kidnapped and raped. And the family's trying to tell the story and not hurt the girl in the process. CBS is jumping the gun with news specials and not keeping their word. This is typical of the liberal media. They've got no respect for family. And the bottom line, liberals have no respect for traditional families.
All right, in the press release, you mentioned that your own family has had some experience with this.
Phil, when I tell you the story of my family, keep in mind what I said, that the liberal media has no respect for family. Phil, 2.5 years ago, my daughter Kimberly, who was 13 years of age at the time, was kidnapped by a William Rudolph, a business partner of mine in Bakersfield, California. She was held against her will. She was sexually assaulted by this man.
Good God.
She survived the ordeal. Mr. Rudolph was subsequently arrested, tried, and convicted, and is now serving 30 years at the men's colony at San Luis Obispo.
All right.
Subsequent to this horrible ordeal for our family, I approached the NBC television network through my attorney, Mike Suffolk, and pitched them on an idea for a weekly series based upon my daughter's kidnapping and rape Each episode would represent 1 hour chronologically in my daughter's ordeal. The opening episode, for instance, would show her getting into the spa with Bill Rudolph, and then the subsequent episodes would show the sexual assault and his eventual arrest. Now, this idea, by the way, pre-existed the television show on Fox called 24. We originally had this idea as a chronological, hour-long show far before 24. It was wholly original. It was edge of your seat. It would raise awareness and would certainly be commercially viable. But NBC didn't want anything to do with it. We took it to WB, to UPN, and here was an idea that was fresh, being brought to the network not 4 days after my daughter was able to escape out of Rudolph's trailer in Topanga Canyon and alert police. The idea was not picked up. I've had to live with that. I've picked up my life and I've moved on. But now I see where CBS, Doubleday Books, and God knows who else would like nothing better than to chronicle Elizabeth Smart's horrible ordeal. So now the liberal media wants to embrace this Elizabeth Smart story, and yet 2.5 years ago they didn't want any part of the Kimberly Grover story. And we had come to them packaged with a script written, and we even had sponsorship connections.
All right, you feel that a lot of this has to do with your work as a conservative Republican, that your daughter, first of all, let me say how horribly I feel and how terribly sorry I am for what your daughter went through, Larry.
I didn't hear you, Phil.
I'm sorry for what your daughter went through.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thank you for that. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. But we're talking now. I thought you wanted me on to talk about CBS and how Elizabeth Smart's family gets to have a show made about her.
What I wanted to ask you about was the liberal media has Elizabeth Smart's story on. Your daughter, though, I'm interested in your daughter's story. She was kidnapped and raped by your business partner?
Bill Rudolph, right.
In what was the business?
We were in the printing business. We had a print shop. And Bill had a vacation home in Topanga Canyon. It was a mobile home he had in Topanga Canyon. And he kidnapped her and took her there. Now, if you look at the story of what happened to my daughter, how it moves from the interior of California and Bakersfield to the coast and to the area, the Hollywood situation, it has such wonderful movement, and it has such wonderful, the storyline, I think, is great, and far more attractive and far sexier, if you will, than Utah.
We're talking about your daughter's assault.
No, Phil, please don't think that I don't every day think about that, what happened to her. But how come Elizabeth Smart's story is going to be on CBS? This is the question that people will ask. I know the answer. The media's liberal. They've got it in for me because I'm a conservative Republican. And this guy, Ed Smart's a Mormon, and they love Mormons. And they've always loved Mormons, and they always give them a break.
Hold on. I want to give our phone number, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're listening to an incredible tale of a man whose daughter was assaulted, kidnapped and assaulted 2.5 years ago, and he tried to sell that story to the television networks. They didn't want any part of it. And he is on our program to talk about how Elizabeth Smart's story is going forward on CBS because the liberal media likes the Elizabeth Smart story. But they don't like you. You're saying this has something to do with them being Mormon?
I just think, Phil, I don't have any answers. I don't have any answers. I don't know why. I have to come up with answers because no one will give me. Why my daughter was kidnapped and sexually assaulted by my own business partner. Now, this has the possibility. This is fascinating. I mean, it's terrible what happened to Kimberly, but it's interesting. What's her name? Elizabeth Smart. It's just some hippie. Now, all I know is our pitch to NBC had a script. We'd already had cast ideas, and part of the second season, at least we had part of the first season, we had a couple of episodes written. And again, we had the original idea of it being a 24-style, hour-by-hour chronology, which predated the 24 show. And there's Kiefer Sutherland over at Fox having himself a good time. Ed Smart's about to have himself a great time over at CBS. And once again in my life, I'm sitting here with my hands, with my pockets full of sand and my mouth full of sawdust, and I don't understand. But I suspect it's because I do actively work for the Republican Party.
1-800-449-8686. All right. As you said, you think a lot of this has to do with... Do you think there was anything in your approach, the fact that only 4 days after your daughter's horrible ordeal ended, you went to a TV network to sell her story? Do you think that there was some distaste on the part of...
Look, this is a story that the American people would have a great deal of interest in. A 13-year-old is raped by a 42-year-old, a former partner of her father's. It has a lot of very interesting elements. Why CBS can't see...
But that's what I'm saying. Even the way you're talking about it right now, this is a story about your daughter.
Well, if you're intimating that I don't love my daughter...
I'm not intimating that, but you're speaking in a matter-of-fact and business-like way about a little girl who is your daughter, and...
Look, all I know, Phil, is Ed Smart is making at least $2.5 million on the deal, and what do I get? Bugger all, that's what I get. CBS can't see that this is what the audience wants. Maybe explains why for so many years they couldn't attract any audience at all. It's why didn't they buy it from me? And yet this Mormon, he gets his daughter's story bought, and I don't. And what do I got? I got BUG all.
What is it about this story that they want? What is it about the story of your daughter, Kimberly Grover, being raped by your business partner in a trailer in Topanga Canyon and then having to escape?
Well, it's a story that it's tragic, and also, as well as the tragedy, is an interesting, you know, it has an interesting, you know, erotic side. My daughter was kidnapped by her father's business partner, et cetera, et cetera. So I think there's a lot to sink your teeth into. But I'm not going to have this story on TV. Ed Smart gets to have his story on TV. And I'm not being cavalier with my daughter. I'm just asking how come he gets to have that and I don't get to. How come Elizabeth Smart's story gets to be told, but Kimberly Grover's story, no one cares?
Well, it was not well publicized.
Well, and my daughter, she escaped from Bill Rudolph. This Smart girl was just wandering down a street. My daughter crawled through the back window of this guy's trailer and ran out onto the 101 freeway. And this girl's just walking down the street, and the guy, are you Elizabeth Smart? Yeah, I am. Okay. And that's, wow. Well, that's a real daring escape. Kimberly's story is far more fascinating than Elizabeth Smart story. I'm sure. Are you Elizabeth Smart? Yes, I am. The end. Big deal.
All right, 1-800, I don't know that it's smart, I don't know that it is even compassionate to begin to pit one child's story against the other in terms of its commercial appeal. We have Mr. Larry Grover on the line with us. He is talking about the Elizabeth Smart story being the subject of a CBS movie. His daughter was also attacked, sexually assaulted, 2.5 years ago by his business partner. She had to escape from the guy's trailer. Mr. Grover, though, said he tried to pitch NBC and a few other networks, and they didn't want to have anything to do with it. He doesn't understand why it is that Mr. Smart's story is picked up and his isn't. Could it be that Mr. Smart is Mormon, and this man, Mr. Grover, is a conservative Republican who's victimized by the liberal press? I just got to tell you, I think it's tasteless, personally, to be so energetic about commercially peddling a tragedy like this. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Relocating the edge and jumping over. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Larry Grover with Conservatives of Kern County joins us. We're talking with him about the Elizabeth Smart story and why it is on CBS and it's been picked up and it's going to be a movie, and his daughter's rape and abduction. And this is a horrible story, Larry. Are you watching? I can hear a...
I'm watching a little television right now. I'm sorry, Phil.
If you could turn that down.
Certainly.
This is a horrible story, and it's one that sounds... the trauma of this kid, your daughter or Elizabeth Smart, shouldn't be commercialized. Don't you agree?
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more.
Then why even argue about this?
Because I'm curious. I don't care whether they make a movie about Kimberly's ordeal. All that matters to me is that that child does, is she's okay. But, you know, I mean, by the same token, how come Ed Smart gets to have, and they're going to fly him to Hollywood? I got a suspicion that another reason NBC didn't produce my daughter's kidnapping rape story is because they weren't happy with my choice of some of the casting. And Lucy Liu, excuse me, I am told is a big film star, but I thought it would be interesting to have her play in a TV movie. If it would help, I'll rewrite the family.
Is your daughter Asian? Are you Asian?
No, sir, but I think that we were trying to work the ethnic thing in.
All right, let me go to line one here. Rick, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Rick?
Yes.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Hey, this guy is a little bit wacko. To try and profit from the tragedy that befell his daughter is just plain sick.
Oh, yeah. You're like, you wouldn't do the same thing.
No, I sure wouldn't, buddy. Not
well, right. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. If everybody wants to interview your daughter and they're coming down on your house morning, noon, and night, wouldn't you try to do something to keep them from, for instance, make them pay for the interview? For instance,
sure I would not. I would not profit from a tragedy.
All right, so in other words, you'd let your daughter be harassed by thousands of reporters.
No, I would not.
Well,
I would,
and you don't understand the game, my friend. The game is
this. That's what you're playing, buddy, is a game. You went so far to write a script? That is sick. S-I-C.
All right, thanks a lot. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Kim. Go ahead, Kim.
Hi, Larry, I'm trying to keep an open mind about your response to this, but I would just like to know, how did you handle this with your daughter, and how does she feel about her story being publicized?
Well, I told her that that there's a very good possibility we could be in the film, and the... A lot of, you know, the kids, they want to meet the stars, they want to meet the great the pop stars and this kind of a deal. So we could make the movie, and she could come out to Los Angeles and meet all of the stars that she likes to see.
But after 4 days to be proposing a movie to her, did she get counseling?
I didn't talk to her. I said I went to NBC. I didn't talk to her about it after 4 days. I went to NBC with it. My daughter... Why would I talk to her about it? She is in school currently and certainly is not of age to make any kind of a commitment contractually to a television deal.
No, my point is after 4 days of being raped and being and escaping
right.
from the most horrific, she was back to school? She was back to normal?
What the proposal is once we get the pilot ordered, we will try to get her into therapy, and of course we want to remember what she went through.
Larry, doesn't that sound a little backwards to you, that this girl might need some help and not, it's not
oh,
about
absolutely.
Money, it's not
no,
about...
She, we've talked to her about it and everything, and her mother and everything, and we're doing all we can.
And what also amazes me, though, is just that you're talking about yourself.
Ed Smart, what are you asking me questions for? Ed Smart's going to get $2.5 million.
Who cares?
And this guy's, you don't care about that, but you're talking about me? How come you're not calling up his house and saying, hey, Ed, what a douchebag you are.
Would you watch your language, please?
I'm sorry.
I mean, I just think that the language you're using now and the resentment that you hold against Ed Smart.
Well, what does he get to
do? It's just showing.
And they're
right,
gonna, uh-huh.
But that's my point. What does it matter?
What does it matter?
What should be most important to you is your daughter, and not the sensationalism of her trauma.
I agree with you, and I certainly want to make sure.
Then why are you on the phone now talking
about this? It's a good point, but I'm just asking you this. How come they didn't pick up our story? That's all I want to know. See? I'll tell
Maybe.
You why. The liberal media hates conservative Republicans. And we're going to Sizzler, and the Smart family goes to Disneyland, and once again, I have to eat a do sandwich. God damn it.
Can I say one thing? You keep going back to the money aspect of it.
Right.
And I think the host brought up a very good point when he was talking about your approach. You approach them with...
4 days after this child's ordeal.
How did you even get... How did you get this all together in 4 days?
All right, we got to move on. Kim, thank you.
Thanks
for your call. 1-800-449-8668. We just have to move on. But would you answer that question?
What was her question?
Her question was, how'd you pull this together in 4 days?
Well, Phil, first of all, what you do is you get a rough outline, a proposal or presentation. You can talk with any number of writers. My friend Doug Hauser, who works in the Screen Actors Guild, knows a number of writers. We hooked up with a couple of very sharp guys, Betty Putman and Stu Lance, who also, that's the Laker guy. Sam Lance is the guy I'm talking about. And what we did is we wrote this script, we pounded it out, we had a couple of pages, we didn't know where we were going with the project, and we took it over to a very dear friend of mine, he looked at it, we got in the door at NBC, and the next thing I know, they're telling us, they're ushering us out the back door, and I wanted to, I tell you, I could have kicked ass on somebody over there when they, you know, and I started writing this script while my daughter was still missing, because what I knew we had, the pilot season was...
You did what? You started writing while she was still missing?
Because pilot season was coming up. Because
what is pilot season? I don't know.
That's when they order the pilots to see what they turn into a television show. So while the police were, and I think at that point we didn't know whether she was alive or dead, so that's when I started writing.
You started writing to make yourself feel better? Did you start writing to...
No, maybe you're not hearing me. I started writing because pilot season was coming up. Oh, I guess that makes me a jackass, huh?
I'm talking about your daughter's missing, and you're, let's get this script out, because pilot season's coming up. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Larry Grover, his daughter went through what Kimberly Smart went through, but he doesn't get his TV show made. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
But then she went to in the spa with him.
Well, that's the thing. Your daughter got... we're back on the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Now, wait a minute. Your daughter was raped and kidnapped by your business partner after you allowed her to go out to his home in Palm Springs?
She was going to go out with him for a weekend. I don't understand your question.
She's 13 years old.
Yes, she's 13. I understand that. We were going to follow the next day. She went into the spa with him.
That's another thing. She went into a spa. Did you plan all of this?
How dare you?
It sounds like it. I mean...
How dare you say that I planned all of this? All I'm asking is that you understand, why didn't I get the big money deal like Ed Smart? My daughter got raped just like his daughter.
Why didn't I get the big money deal like Ed Smart?
Yes.
My daughter got raped just like his daughter.
Yes. What are you're making it say? Hey, wait a minute, Phil. I didn't rape anybody. I'm not the guy that committed any crime here. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just, I'm beginning to have a hard time believing that.
What's that supposed to mean?
I'll tell you what it means. It means that while you didn't commit a rape or a kidnapping, maybe it is a crime to set up something so you can...
Set up something? What are you accusing me of?
I'm saying that you let your daughter go out to Palm Springs, got into a spa with this guy, and the next thing we know, she's in a trailer in Topanga Canyon being raped. And you didn't know that this was going to happen, huh?
I most certainly did not, and I would suggest, Mr. Henry, that you stop in your tracks right now. Otherwise, you're going to be looking to bound down both barrels of a lawsuit, a slander and libel lawsuit. Now, I had nothing to do with the crime committed against my daughter, and
I find it tasteless, and I find it very suspicious that 4 days after that girl escaped from that trailer, you're trying to sell a script to NBC about it, based on 24 hours in the life of in this incident, and it predated Fox.
Yeah, it did. What, did that piss you off because you didn't think about it?
Well, I wasn't sitting around thinking about writing a script in the middle of my daughter getting raped.
I had to do it because pilot...
Yeah, pilot season was coming up.
I would suggest that you you watch what you say from here on out.
I won't. I'll do what I want to do, okay?
I would suggest you not do...
I'll do what I want to do. I'll say what I want to say, when I want to say it, and how I want to say it, and you ain't going to tell me. You want to sue me? Go ahead and sue me. I've been sued before. I've been sued millions of times.
You don't care about being sued?
No, I don't. As a matter of fact, I don't give a crap about being sued. Sue me. You there?
You're pissing me off.
Good. Good. I'm glad. This is Mansoor. Hello, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. Hi, Phil.
Yes.
My name is Mansoor. I listen to your talk show every day.
Thank you, sir.
I've never called before. This is my first time.
Yes, sir.
I never called any talk show before. But after listening to this guy, I am so mad. I'm a father of two girls, and I cannot understand. This guy is so interested in telling the American public how his daughter was raped and wants to make a movie out of it.
You say you're the father of two goats, or what did you say?
Two girls.
Yeah.
I didn't hear what he said.
I have two girls,
yes,
and, I'm a father of two girls, and I'm so mad. This guy is more interested in telling the American public how his daughter was raped, and he wants to make a movie out of it?
Well, sir, first, please understand, I love my daughter very much.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think you're not fit to be a father. No wonder NBC did not take you up.
Well,
that is the reason why they didn't take you up. You are not fit to be a father, and I don't think you should even be on this talk show.
Sir, are you a father? Do you watch television?
I don't watch television.
All right, listen to this. Episode 6 in the proposal is a FedEx driver comes by and peeks in the window of the trailer, and he can't hear Kimberly screaming.
Look, sir,
and see, there's tension.
My God.
The only thing that,
talking about your
the
own
only
daughter.
Thing that pisses me off is you are so interested in telling the American public how your daughter was raped and you want to make a movie out of it. Shame on you.
Sir, my daughter was...
Shame on you. You are only after money, and that is all you care. You don't care about your daughter.
I don't care about money.
I think your daughter should disown you.
No, sir, I don't care about money. I love my daughter, but listen to this. In episode 5...
Will you forget about the script you got? And
my daughter wasn't wrapped either.
What do you mean she wasn't wrapped?
He keeps saying she's wrapped.
Yeah, you said she had an episode. You said that she had an episode with this gentleman of 42 years.
Yes.
He kidnapped your daughter and
he
all that.
Her. Yeah,
and you are more interested. You said
he
your
bagged
movie,
her. He didn't wrap her though.
He bagged her, huh?
Your script is so beautiful that the American public will love it. The American public will love to see how your daughter was wrapped. Shame on you,
sir.
You are not fit to be a father.
In episode 8, Kimberly
gets
superpowers.
No wonder NBC did not take you up.
What do you mean in episode 8, Kimberly gets superpowers?
Well, it was something that I thought of.
Can you believe this, man, sir? This is the crap that comes on our television morning, noon, and night. Now, this Ed Smart, Kimberly, this Elizabeth Smart's father, has negotiated with CBS because everybody's interested in that story, okay?
Absolutely.
Everyone wants to know the story of Kimberly's, of Elizabeth Smart. Nobody is aware of this story about your daughter. And maybe if it had come out in the news in a more tasteful way instead of you trying to pitch it.
Oh.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
So you're calling me a slob, is that it?
Yeah, in so many words, yes, I am. I'm calling you a slob.
You think I'm a slob too, Mansoor?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think I'm a slob?
No.
What do you think I am?
I think...
A turd?
Who am I talking to now?
My name's Larry Grover. I'm the one who tried to sell the script on my daughter being raped.
I think you're a big slob.
I think you're not fit
to be a father. You're hopeless.
What kind of name is Mansoor anyway? Is that some kind of Chinese deal?
It has a lot of meaning. It's a Muslim name. It means saved by God.
You're a Muslim, huh?
Yeah,
one
absolutely.
Of those guys that flew the plane into the building. And you're giving me a hard time?
Yeah, definitely.
Listen,
at least we don't go around rapping our daughters.
No, you just fly. You tell rappers fly buildings in the...
No, forget they don't fly buildings in the plane.
Gary, don't bring my religion in this, okay?
You know what Mansoor means?
It has got to do with my name. You are not fit to be a father.
Your daughter should
disown you.
They don't want
Mansoor.
I
think the person who kidnapped your daughter is more a father to her than you are.
Look, and listen
Shame
to this
on
episode.
You.
Brad Pitt will guest star as President
Shame
Bush headed to Topanga to release her from the trailer. And you know what Mansoor means? In Arabic?
No, you, I
it,
don't
it means
you
I ate my dog.
I don't think you know
all
Arabic
right.
at all.
It means I ate my dog, so there.
All right, listen, get out of here. Mansoor, thank you, sir. You made
thank
some
you
very,
very
good
much,
points.
Sir.
You sound
Thanks
like a very fine father. Yes.
Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
By the way, are you sitting first class in the next flight back?
Never mind that. I ate my dog.
Crazy, Mr. Hendry, is the way you take the side of your callers, and you never want to see the side of your guests. I've been listening and studying your program, knowing that I was going to come out as a guest. I am a member of the conservative Republican wing of the Republican Party, and...
You know what? You and your Republican politics has got nothing to do with this.
Yeah, well, look, in episode 14, my daughter becomes a Jedi Knight. It'll be golden...
Will you stop it with your episode 14, you crazy idiot? I don't even think you got a daughter.
And you let that... You complimented that Muslim, and me, I've got nothing but sand in my mouth.
What a jackass. All right, see you later, dopey. And give Sneezy my regards. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show, by the way, the voice there of our preceding guest, which of course was Larry Grover, was performed by me. The caller's real, unpaid for, unprompted, unreal, man. Coming up now, Doug Danger from our show yesterday. Doug Danger is a gay man and a gay journalist, and therefore he knows that people in coach shouldn't be using the first-class can when he's sitting up there trying to do his work.
Phil Hendry Show. Comedy gold.
I'm sorry, Phil. This guy's an idiot. Being gay has nothing to do with the situation.
Well, you know what, Teresa? Until you're gay, until you've come out of the, been out of the closet 6 weeks...
Will you shut up and let me talk?
I've been out of the closet 6 weeks.
Will you shut up and let me talk?
Don't tell me to shut up.
Okay. Number one, you chose to be irritated by them that... those people that walked up.
I'll turn you gay.
Nobody made you feel irritated. That was your choice.
No, they made me.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
You chose to feel that way.
Oh, listen to you,
you
with the psychobabble.
You chose to be irritated with them.
Well, okay, Dr. McGraw.
And I have also flown in first class with babies and diaper bags. And you have nothing to say about people with babies and diaper bags not being able to fly first class.
Wait a minute. What if I'm fighting terrorists and I got to step over your babies?
Well, too bad. If I paid for a first class ticket, what in the hell should you care?
You're not. There's no babies in first class. There's
oh,
no
yes,
babies.
They do.
No, there's no babies in
yes,
first class.
Yes, there is.
I think I've seen babies in first class.
You're lying now, just like the airlines.
No, I'm Henry. Not lying because I've
no.
done it.
Henry's a liar, just like the airlines lie.
Well, then why have I done it?
In your dreams? What do you mean, why have you done what? What did you do?
Fly in first class with babies.
How many?
Two.
Oh, you're a lying sack. Two
no,
babies.
No, I'm not.
You know, I'm gay.
Yeah, I don't care
right?
what the
and
hell
means
you are.
That I have a clarity that a lot of people don't have, and I can tell you're lying. Flying in first class with two babies?
With twins.
Where'd they sit?
Where in the hell do you think they sit? They
Where's
were
they?
Babies. They were in baby carriers.
Did you buy two extra seats? Because you're supposed to.
They didn't have to because they were in car seats.
Where'd they sit?
On the floor?
You're full of crap.
No, I'm not.
She's lying, Phil.
All right, I don't know who to believe.
No, trust me, I'm gay. She's lying.
Phil Hendry Show. Comedy gold.
This is Doug Danger. He has a clarity that others don't have. He's a gay man and a gay journalist. He is the... If that ain't a superhero in the making, I don't know what is. That is fantastic. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Everybody's been talking about it. Everybody's been showing it over and over and over again, so you want to puke. It is the Klebold and Harris videotape of them taking target practice 6 weeks before they went into Columbine and created utter hell for the families of many kids. And if ever there was a demonstration and an illustration of, you know, of why you ought to pack a weapon, just looking at those two pieces of crap is enough to convince me. I mean, I can't believe it, man. Today I'm listening to these guys. Well, getting over the healing process must begin by recognizing, oh, my God. I've never seen, especially after Columbine happened, and more as the years pass, and then 9/11 hit, I've never seen people like the American people still trusting in these remedies, which I'm not saying it's not a good thing to get the healing, you know, to let the healing begin, okay? I'm saying it's important, but I'm also saying we're only going to hurt, man, if we ain't proactive on this stuff. I mean, good God Almighty. I'm listening to these psychiatrists today. Well, the healing must begin because of the children and the this and the that. You know how you're going to feel a whole lot better if somebody was packing a rod that day and shoved it right up one of their asses and pulled the trigger about six times? That would have made you feel real good. The healing would have begun. 1-800-449-8686. I mean, this is something I feel strong about. Let's go to the phones on this one. Here is John. Hi, John. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Episode 12, Phil. Kimberly goes back and saws Bill Rudolph's penis off and takes...
Would you get out of here with the episodes with the kid?
This is the guy whose daughter got abducted by his business partner, and he wanted to pitch it to NBC. All 24 episodes, 24 hours in the abduction of his daughter. How come Elizabeth Smart gets the big play and his daughter don't? So, Klebold and Harris, two real long, tall bags of crap, two running sores of human beings. Those guys are dead, thank God, but the parents still live somewhere. I don't know where they are. They don't want to talk to anybody. They've settled the loss. They don't think that they have to talk to anybody publicly, see? They only think they got to talk to the parents of the kids who were hurt, right? You should have been in my house the weekend after Columbine happened. I had four little kids at that time, right? Was this, what is this, 2003? Minus four? So my oldest son was 13. And that would have made our youngest son 10. And I remember he was in tears. He had written some crazy poetry to try to, you know, get it out off of his chest. And his dad found it, and he was threatened with going to a psychiatrist, and he was just scared, and we talked to him about being scared. This affected kids all over the country. So this Klebold and Harris, the parents of these two guys, you know, you got a lot to answer for. But they don't want to be seen. They don't want to be heard. They don't think it's anybody's business but their own. You created these two creeps. If you didn't create them, you could have done something about them. At least wise, what you could have done is taken a baseball bat to them one night while they were sleeping. That would have solved the problem big time. So today they got the video. It's just going ad nauseum on TV about them, look, you know, shooting into trees and shooting into this and shooting into that. 1-800-449-8686. Are you a parent of a child that was, you know, traumatized by Columbine? Let's go to Frank. Hi, Frank. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Been in episode 15. She'll eat live worms and swim through a shark tank for 50,000.
You can't tell that's him calling back every time? Hey, Phil. Yeah, I got a great idea for a TV show. Yeah, 24 hours in the abduction and rape of my daughter. God! And if I got to look at that Alan Combs one more time with that freaking Northern Pike face of his, I'm going to scream. Talk about fish eyes on that guy. Hey, what is it? Hey, Combs, did you need to gig that bad man that you said, yeah, okay, I'll be the resident liberal on the neo-Nazi Fox network? Is that the thing? You're the resident liberal on that, huh? All right, let's go to Tyrone. Hi, Tyrone. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. At least it's not that nut, huh?
Yeah, episode 17, she'll cite a straight guy with how to dress in the season finale.
Oh, so he used a black voice this time. That's great. Oh, Chris, by the way, you're fired. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Man, it's a wild scene, baby. All right, listen, our souvenir shop is on our website, which is the Phil Hendry Show website, www.philhendryshow.com. Let me tell you a little bit about it, because coming up very shortly, will be the release of our new Best of 2003 CD. It'll be a double CD. It's called The Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2003, The Death of Talk Radio. And it will include the funniest crap that anybody's put on any radio show, in any on any radio station, in any country the last year. Guaranteed. The funniest crap anybody's done, it'll be on our Best of CD. And because we've done so much of it over the last year, we're going to have a double CD coming out yet again. We can't keep it on one CD, man. It's got to be a double CD. So this year, yet another double CD. Just like last year, and just like last year, the price is only $20. And just like last year, the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. They do fantastic work. We love them. And they really help. You know, what they're doing over there basically is trying to keep the Klebold and Harrises out of our lives as much as they can. So I would strongly urge, if you don't want another Columbine, maybe what we can do is give some money over to these guys who are there every day interfacing with the kids living on the streets in Hollywood, and what they're doing is, and they're, you know, that 60 to 70% of the people that are over at my friend's place as counselors have their master's degree. There, some of them are working toward their doctorates. They are interfacing with the kids on a variety of levels, drug counseling, just psychotherapy. There's also a computer room where if the kids earn the right to go up there, and that is they keep their nose clean for a few weeks, they get to go up into the computer area where they can access job listings, where they can make phone calls. There's also medical aid that is rendered. There is access to clothing. There's access to food if the kids need it. It is not a shelter. It's not a shelter. In other words, it's not a place where you just live. It is a resource center that opens up in the morning and closes at night. But it's a start towards self-empowerment for these kids. That's where all the bread that we make from the sale of our Death of Talk Radio CD is going to go. So if you buy our CD, that's who you're helping. There's our big pitch, baby. Big pitch. Overhand curve. Steve Reich. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.